Books. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC, 14 minutes after 11. As you may have guessed from the music, it is time for our book picks for the week from our independent bookseller. Susanna Hermans of Oblong Books in Millerton and Rhinebeck joins us this morning to present some of the finest authors and books that are making their way to store shelves this season. Susanna, welcome back.
Thanks, Ray. Good to be here.
How many books do you get in every week
for
possible inclusion?
Gosh. Oh, so many books. It depends on the week.
Yeah.
But, you know, at any given time, our store is carrying 30,000 different books.
30,000?
Yes.
One of each?
Some very many have one of each. You know, there are certain titles will bring in more. But there's a lot of books to look at. And I'm the buyer for the store, so I look at all of the books, even the ones we don't bring in.
That's a tough... And I always joke with Joe Donahue, who reads more books than I could even imagine.
Yes.
How do you read? Do you skim them?
You can't read them all. I mean, really, it's a lot of split-second decisions about, is this something I think my customers are interested in? Do they have some marketing behind it? What's the story of the author? Are they established? Are they not? If not, what makes this book special? There's a lot of decisions, quick decisions that get made to help us fill our shelves.
Are there some imprints that automatically get in, or do you still have to vet them?
Oh, yeah. I vet everything. I look at everything. You know, just because it's a good publisher doesn't mean that every book they publish is right for our customers.
Well, that's good advice to remember. Well, I love seeing real books in this day and age. And you brought a stack. What did you bring today?
Yes, I brought some stuff that I have read recently and really loved. So starting off with fiction, I'm a big thriller reader. You know, The Girl on a Train, The Gone Girl, like this new sort of genre of thrillers that feature women as protagonists. I am on board for this.
Okay.
But of course, with that come a lot of books that aren't great, and I've read a lot of those too.
There are a lot of bad thrillers.
Oh yeah, there are, that's fine. That's fine. But when I find one that is really good, I talk about it. So the one that I'm talking about today is called Her Every Fear. It's by Peter Swanson. And he's written a couple novels. I have not read him before, but I will now go back and read his other two books because this was fantastic. It's about a woman from London, a young woman who has a cousin who lives in Boston. She's never met him, but they agree to do an apartment swap. He has to move to London for a job. She says, oh, we'll take my apartment. I'll go stay in Boston for 6 months. This is going to be great. So she arrives in Boston late at night, and of course she finds that the woman in the apartment next door to his has been murdered.
Ooh.
I know. So it's sort of the unraveling of what happened to this woman. Is our protagonist in danger, and is her cousin connected to the crime? It's delicious.
Violent?
Just the right amount. It's not grisly, but there's just enough that it will fill your need for a little bit of darkness.
I can't take too much grisliness.
Same. It's certainly not excessively violent.
Her Every Fear by Peter Swanson.
And then moving to something that's completely different and totally delightful and lovely. It's a new novel called The Impossible Fortress. It's by Jason Rechulak. And it is, okay, imagine the kids from Stranger Things, minus the sci-fi element.
Yeah.
Just like these kids, these 14-year-old boys, best friends, 1987. Vanna White is on the cover of Playboy magazine, and they want a copy.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. So you see, it's like a moment of your life, right?
Sure.
So they're determined they're going to break into this corner shop and steal the magazine. But what happens, of course, things don't go as planned, and they discover in the back room of this shop, the owner's daughter, who's their same age, is programming computer games. And these kids are super into computer programming, so they sort of befriend her. And it's this sort of like band of misfits. All they want to do is build this computer game. But of course, hormones are raging. Drama is happening. Friendship changes.
So there's drama in this?
There
sounds like a fun book.
It's such a fun book, but with like this beautiful undercurrent of what it is to be a teenager going through changes in your friend groups, crushes, but also just like being a super nerdy kid. It's just wonderful.
And okay, the cover is it strikes you. So
yes.
As a book picker, as a book buyer, does the cover Does it mean a lot?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. The whole don't judge a book by its cover thing is
wrong.
Is totally wrong. You have to. Because if it has a really bad cover, people are probably not going to pick it up.
Well, this is breaking news.
I'm sorry.
We're
I'm sorry
put
to burst
the bubble.
We're going to
put this on the head of the website here. Breaking news from Susanna Hermans.
Covers definitely matter.
All right. That's The Impossible Fortress, a novel by Jason Rekulak.
I believe that is how you say it.
And what's next?
Oh, my gosh. So I'm moving back to Creepy Town, but nonfiction this time.
Okay.
It's a book called The Spider and the Fly, A Reporter, A Serial Killer, and the Meaning of Murder by Claudia Rowe.
Oh, and this is nonfiction?
Nonfiction.
Oh,
this,
really?
Yeah. So this story was written by a journalist who was a stringer for the New York Times. She worked for the Poughkeepsie Journal. Or maybe she was just with the Times during this. So she was the New York Times's person working out of Poughkeepsie, New York.
Okay.
In the 90s. And she, in the late 90s, a man was arrested for murdering women in Poughkeepsie. He had 8 bodies in his attic.
Oh boy.
Young man. He was like 28. And when the author of this book, the reporter, arrives on the scene, she gets to Poughkeepsie, this has all just happened, and she decides she's going to start writing to him. So it's the story of their relationship, of his life and how he became a serial killer and why she waited so long to tell her story. It's a very odd book.
So she wrote to him in jail?
In jail, yes. Yes, for many years. Hmm. And I immediately picked this up because I love true crime. The local angle, because it's fairly close to where we are, is certainly fascinating. But it is a really strange book. It's part memoir of her life and part true crime, but it's not really one or the other. And I really was fascinated by this book. I don't know that it ultimately succeeds, but for anyone who's interested in a fascinating, creepy, local true crime story, this is a definite must read. And it's sort of like reading a piece of nonfiction where your narrator is unreliable because you don't...
Oh, that's very interesting.
You don't quite trust what she's telling you about...
Because she's emotionally entangled?
Because she's emotionally connected to the story. So it's really fascinating. It's super creepy. It has a Gillian Flynn blurb. She loved it. So that certainly means something.
Now, you mentioned that your stores are down in that neck of the
yes.
woods. Have you run across anyone in selling this book who said, oh, I know a little bit about this story?
No, not yet. But it's only been out for about a week and a half.
Ah, I bet you will.
Yes. I'm looking forward. Please come tell me all your creepy serial killer stories.
All right. Fair enough. That's The Spider and the Fly by Claudia Rowe.
Yep. And then moving on to a couple more nonfiction books that we are having the authors come in the next week or so. The first one we're having this Saturday night at 6:00 at our Rhinebeck store, Donna Seaman. She is a critic, an editor at Booklist. She is an incredible mind, and she has done a book called Identity Unknown, Rediscovering 7 American Women Artists. And it's this fantastic book that sort of says, okay, well, we know Georgia O'Keeffe and we know Frida Kahlo.
Sure.
Who else?
Yoko? No.
I think we're talking more like fine art.
Ah.
But
pretty far
these women who were influential and were game changers in their time who are not remembered at all by history. I think it's a great time to lift up the stories of women who don't get their stories heard. And
Such as,
let's see here. Lois Mellu Jones of the Harlem Renaissance, who I bet you've never heard of.
I have not.
Right? So the book is beautiful. It has some full color.
Oh, lavish. Oh, beautiful illustration.
Inside of it. That, yeah. So you can actually see the art of these women. And Donna's going to be at our Rhinebeck stores this Saturday at 6:00.
And I am told by Sarah LaDuke that Donna will be on the roundtable this week.
Wonderful.
She's our producer, you know.
Sarah is the best.
She wrote it on a piece of paper because I had no idea. There you go.
She takes care of us both, I think.
That's Identity Unknown by Donna Seaman, and she will be at Oblong Books when?
Saturday at 6:00 in Rhinebeck.
And on the roundtable this week as well. What else you have?
Next up, we have The Women Who Made New York by Julie Scalfo. This book came out last fall, and it immediately caught me because it has an incredibly striking cover of Lady Liberty and her beautiful tattooed arm. And it just sort of looks at, hey, look, I flipped to the page of Yoko. There she is.
Well, there you go, you see?
You knew. You knew Yoko was in here somewhere.
I wish I didn't know, but I know.
But it looks at all these women who helped create New York, the New York that we all know and love, but who maybe we forgot we're
How
so
influential. How did Yoko create New York that we know and love? Did she make a pizza?
You got to buy the book.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Julie's going to be at our store on March 1st, which is a Wednesday at 6 o'clock at our Rhinebeck store. And we're thrilled to have her. It is a beautiful book, great portraits of these women. And we're doing a whole bunch of events centered around Women's History Month. So this is just one of these. These last two books actually are just the beginning of what we have coming up in
March.
Now,
are you coordinating with Sarah? Because apparently Julie will be on the roundtable next week.
Fabulous.
This is really something.
It's almost like we have someone whose job it is to make these things happen.
Synergy. The Women Who Made New York by Julie Skelfo.
Yes.
Okay.
And then moving on to some kids' books that I love. The first one is a picture book. I would say it's for ages 4 to 8. It's called Lost and Found Cat, The True Story of Kunkush's Incredible Journey by Doug Kuntz and Amy Schrodes, with illustrations by Sue Cornelison. So at first I was like, oh, this is just going to be like a sappy cat rescue story. Which,
yeah.
I mean, I'm a sucker for that. I'm a big cat person. No
me
problem.
Too, me too.
But then I actually read it and it is so beautiful. So it's a true story of this Iraqi refugee family who flees to Greece. When their boat lands in Greece, the cat slips out of the boat and is lost in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
The cat ends up becoming part of this little colony of cats.
Yeah.
But the people who take care of those cats go, hey, who's that white cat? We don't recognize him. And they put up on Facebook that they found this cat. They think it was probably lost by a refugee family. And over time, the family who lost the cat is able to be reunited with the cat. They bring the cat from Greece to Germany, where the family's living, and the family is reunited with the cat. It is so beautiful.
We should have done a spoiler alert.
Oh, well,
in case there were any 9-year-olds listening.
Spoiler alert, the cat lives in the end.
That's good. That's very good.
It's a happy ending, but it's beautifully illustrated.
So it's a true story?
True story. And in the very back of the book, they have the actual photos of the cat.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful way to introduce a child to what it means to be a refugee through this story, this animal story,
timely,
which kids are able to connect with. Yeah, it's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
That's very nice. That's Lost and Found Cat.
And then one that is just purely fun and wonderful. It's called Bunny's Book Club, also a picture book. This one's probably for ages 3 to 6. It's by Annie Silvestro, illustrated by Tatiana Mai Weiss. And it is the story of a bunny who loves books. This bunny is a reader. He loves all of the books. He loves the stories and all of the imagination that comes with reading. And he sneaks to the library to go to their story time because they have it out in the lawn. But then it's winter and they bring the story time inside and he can't hear the stories anymore. So he breaks into the library and ends up stealing a bunch of books and loaning them out to all his woodland creature friends.
Oh, look
and,
at that.
And then they sneak into the library together when they run out of books. And it's all about the librarian, of course, realizes this is happening and invites the animals into the library and gives them all library cards.
When you pick out kids' books, is it tough to erase that cynical, I'm an adult now, filter?
No, because I've never grown up, so.
You look pretty grown up.
It's a trick.
Wow.
No, I mean, I love children's books, and I've been in the children's book world long enough that a kid's book is just as important to me as an adult book.
But there are also, kids' books are not easy to do.
No.
And there are some bad ones out there.
Absolutely. And there's just some ones that just don't hit the right tone, or just the illustrations I don't love. For me, it's first about the art, and then it's about the story. So if it has bad art, I'm probably not going to bring it in.
Makes sense.
If it has good art, great, but let me read it and make sure it's a good book. And this one is. And it's just a lovely story of the power of reading, the connection to your local library.
How old is that?
This book?
Yeah.
It's probably been out
I remember reading something very simple. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it derivative of another book?
It could be. There are, the idea of animals wanting to read is definitely a story that comes up every once in a while.
I could have imagined it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very old now, but I swear I read that to my kids.
We all love pro-reading picture books.
You're right, you are.
Yes.
Okay, and that is Bunny's Book Club, and that is Annie Silvestro.
And then jumping to teen fiction, which is my very favorite part of the bookstore.
Why?
YA, or young adult books, as they are called, tend to be extremely plot-driven. A lot happens in them. The stakes are very high. When you're a teenager, your emotions are, going through the roof.
Yeah.
So everything is life or death. Everything is important.
Oh.
Your friendships fall apart in high school and you make new ones. You fall in love for the first time. There's so many things that happen for the first time when you are in high school that it makes for a great story.
You finally explained to me what the whole YA thing is all about. You did it in three sentences. Well done.
Excellent. So I'm a huge fan of YA books, and this one is called We Are Okay. It's by Nina LaCour. And this book blew me away. It is an extremely quiet book. It's a fairly short book. It's about a young woman who is just finished her first semester of college. It's winter break. She has been given permission to stay at the school. She's the only one staying through winter break. We aren't quite sure why she can't go home, but that seems to not be an option for her. It's ostensibly set at Vassar College, though that is not mentioned.
Okay.
And it's winter break. She's all alone. We find out that her best friend from back home in California is about to come to visit her and stay for a few days. And she's extremely nervous about this. And this, over the course of the book, we find out why. We find out what has happened to her. It is such a stunning book. The concept of solitude is not usually brought up in young adult books.
Ah.
You know, as I said before, they're usually very plot heavy. A lot of stuff happens, high action. But this one is just, it's all emotion. It's all about figuring out who you are when you're alone, which is like such a big concept. And I think one that we all struggle with, even into adulthood.
Susanna Hermans, we're done.
Great.
You did so well. That was We Are Okay by Nina LaCour, not LaCure. That's something else. We post each week's book picks list along with all of our other interviews and segments at WAMC.org. Susanna Hermans, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, Ray.
Now, what's the website for Oblong?
Oblongbooks.com.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.